Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Happy Labor Day to each and every one. We thank and praise the Lord for this day. We send a shout out to each and every one that have tuned in to the broadcast. I trust that you will have a prosperous week, not only just this day, but a prosperous week. We just thank God for this day because truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and I choose as an act of my will to rejoice and be glad in it. You know, a lot of people experience, it's a lot of things going on the earth, but thanks be to God for the victory that Christ won for us. We can experience and have abundant life every day. Yes, John 10:10 said the thief come but to steal and to destroy. But guess what? Jesus came that I would have life and we can have it more abundantly. But as we state all the time, it just don't automatically happen. So I thank and praise the Lord for the weekend. It was a very busy weekend for us. But I thank and praise the Lord that we had victory. Come on, somebody. I thank and praise the Lord for I thank and praise the Lord for Apostle Armstrong. Apostle Armstrong, if you're listening in at this day, happy Labor Day to you. And I trust and I know you're doing great because the greater one is on the inside of you. I know whatever you're facing today, I decree by the strength of Christ, you is an overcomer. You know, I thank and praise the Lord for Jesus. The more I receive knowledge and revelation and understanding, better yet, the more I get in God's word, I'm finding out who I am and what Christ did for me. And, you know, I can't recall this Christian program, but they used to sing the song, "It's Victory in Jesus." It's victory. And I used to hear them say it, but I didn't understand what they were referring to, how was this victory in Jesus came about. But as I began to get in the Word of God and begin to read it, I found that it is victory in Jesus. It's because of Jesus we have victory and power over our enemy. Come on, somebody. The Bible says Satan is the god of this world, but do you not know the greater one is on the inside of us? If you're a born-again believer, all God is and all he has is in you, in me. The Trinity is in us. And the Holy Spirit is the Trinity. Really, he represents the Trinity. He is in us. And I just thank and praise the Lord for victory today. I just thank and praise the Lord for, as I stated, what the Lord is doing in this hour. Everything God is doing it through the body of Christ. If you're a born-again believer, not necessary if you if you're not an apostle or a prophet or evangelist or pastor, that does not mean that God is not manifesting his glory, which is his presence, through you. But if you're a lay person, and I love in the full gospel, especially in Mark, when Jesus said that these signs will follow them that believe. Now, in that he was commissioned his apostles, those disciples, he was commissioned them. They had assignment on the earth, but he also would let, if you are born again believing, you don't receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, there will be certain signs following you. That's right. You can lay hands on the sick. He said the sick will recover. He said you could cast out devils. He said that you would be able to speak in new tongues, you know. So there, too, again, I just thank and praise the Lord for what the Lord is doing. And we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Father, here in the master's name of Jesus, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you, Father, for allowing us to still be upon the earth. And I thank you, Father, for what you're doing. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in the lives of the believer in this hour. I thank you, Father, for revival is on the earth at this time. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. It's bringing back conviction. And Father, I just give you praise. I just give you honor. I plead the blood of Jesus over the minds of those that have tuned in right now. I decree that Satan is defeated and Jesus is Lord. I even come against attraction. And Father, I thank you for the word that you have placed in our on our lips to share with your people. I thank you that the Holy Spirit is being released over the airway. He is the one that will bring correction, enlightenment, and understanding. I said thank you for it. I thank you right now, Father. I give you praise. I thank you, your anointing that being released over the airways. It would destroy yokes and remove burden. I just thank you for it right now, because you said it's the anointed. And I thank you that we is God's anointed one. His anointing is in us and upon us in this hour for this broadcast. I thank you, Father. I decree every need, whatever the need may be, I decree that it's being met right now. I decree by the authority in Jesus, and I declare anyone that is bound up, by the authority in Jesus' name, I loose you from that thing right now, and I speak peace to you right now. I even pray for that person that feel like, I'm at the end of my rope. Where the old saints used to say, tie a knot, another knot, and just hold on. But I pray and I come against whatever. I come against the hopelessness. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I come against hopelessness in the name of Jesus. Listen, God loves you. God created you and put you and caused you to be put on this earth at the most need for time. You are needed, but most of all, you need to know that you are loved by your Creator. Come on. You are loved. So I rebuke that hopeless spirit in the master's name of Jesus. Don't give up. I come against that spirit that wants you to throw in the towel to quit. Listen, your freedom and your strength and ability is in Almighty God. You might haven't as yet learned that, but you can do nothing of yourself. The only thing that God needs from you is your will, that you need to yield your will over and just open your mouth and begin to just say, Father, I need help. I done tried, and I can't do it. I need your help. And if you're a sinner, Father, be merciful. Forgive me for my sins. And I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe that Jesus came to save me. And right now, I need you, Jesus, as my Savior. And I ask you to come in my heart. I ask you to forgive me for my sins and help me right now. Listen, Jesus would do it if you yield your will over. And that's what we're going to talk about today. As I stated, I was God opened the door and we was able to minister at my daughter church. And God had us, and the topic really was that I constantly, the Lord was saying about our will, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. I want you to go, my foundation scripture will be coming from Isaiah, the first chapter. That's going to be our foundation scripture, Isaiah. The first chapter. And I tell you, I don't have time to read the first 19 verses, the first 20 verses, but it would do you well when we go off the air that you get in your Bible and you would just read the first 20 verses of Isaiah, and there too again, it's talking about the people will, And like I said, the thing that I have learned in my walk with the Lord or my relationship with the Lord, God is not going to make me do anything. And when you read the first, just give a little summary of it, Judah, they had rebelled against the instruction of the Lord. And because of that, they and their family, the whole nation, was experiencing a lot of stress, a lot of problems, a lot of things were going on. The whole nation was suffering because of their rebellious. They disobeyed what God instructions. And there too again, as the Lord had me to share with those women on Saturday, God is not going to override our will. You know, a lot of people, you got loved ones in some of your relationship, your marriage, you're dealing with your children, and you want them to do what is right. But they have a will. And a lot of times we wonder why that God don't just get come into our situation and do what needs to do when it comes down to people that is rebelling. But what you don't realize that I had to come to the conclusion, people have a will. Now, through prayer, listen at me good, through prayer, when we pray for an individual, we're giving God, allow God to come in, and God can begin to melt a person's heart. I want you to hear me good. We do not have authority over nobody's will. Now, as born-again believers, we have authority over spirits, evil forces that try to dominate them. We can bind that force, but we do not have authority over nobody else's will. And once I came into that truth, that knowledge, that understanding, it helped me a lot when I was dealing with other people, because people have a will. Well, as I stated, even in Isaiah, I'm going to be reading from my New Living Translation. I love the way the words, the way he put it. But in that second verse, he said, "Hear, O heaven, listen, O earth, this is what the Lord said, the children I raised and cared for have turned against me. Even the animals, the donkey and the ox, know their own and appreciate his care, but not my people Israel. No matter what I do for them, they still do not understand. Oh, what a sinful nation they are. They are loaded down with a burden of guilt. They are evil and corrupted children who have turned away from the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel, cutting themselves off from him. I mean, cutting themselves off from his help. Why do you continue to invite punishment? Must you rebel forever? Your head is injured. Your heart is sick. You are sick from head to foot, covered with bruised with an infected wound." Now, there too, again, as I stated, like I say, I wanted to, my foundation scripture, and we talked last week about how the kingdom of heaven is here. God's kingdom have come, and that means joy and peace and power in the Holy Ghost. God have made it possible through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He have made it possible that mankind can live a righteous life while on this earth. Not only a righteous life, which you see that word righteous, it's talking about total alignment with God. In the beginning, Adam got out of line with God, and because of him and Eve disobedient to God, but rebel against God's instruction, they cause all mankind to be out of alignment, to be cut off from God. As we state a lot of time, Adam did not lose a religion, but Adam lost a relationship. Because God and Adam had a relationship. They was able to communicate, to fellowship with one another. But when Adam knows sin, what happened? His spirit was disconnected, a bit cut off from God. He was no longer able to communicate with God like he's supposed to. Because of that, the ground was cursed. At first, the animals got along, but after Adam sinned, the animals did not get along anymore. The animals began to fight one another. Women began to, he said, we were experiencing pain. But then the second Adam, who is Jesus, came along, and Jesus redeemed us from the curse. Now, that right there is enough. But let me go on, because with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to stick with what we are going to be sharing and ministering today about. Okay, let's look. I'm going to drop down for time's sake. Drop down to the 18th verse. It said, come now, let us argue this out, say the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can remove it. I can make you as clean as freshly fall snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you as white as wood. And listen, look at the 19th verse. If you will only obey me and let me help you, listen, then you will have plenty to eat. Now, the King James Version said, if you're willing in obedience, you can eat the good of the land. It's conditional. And I had to find out, as a born again, once I came into the knowledge and received Jesus my Savior, I found out it was laws and principles. Even in a new covenant with better promise, it is laws and principles. The promise of God is conditioned. Now, in other words, the Bible says all of God's promise is yea and amen. Well, what it means that God have already planned for you and I to walk in divine health. He done already made plan for us to walk in peace, to walk in joy. God have already made plan for everything that man can need, that we have it. And I think it's in, what is it? First Peter, is it? Let me come on. Because I want to make sure, because we live in a time a lot of people are struggling, and I'm going to tell you, it's not all the devil's fault. Yeah, I said it. A lot of people, I'm going to kind of turn that real quick, because I want to make sure. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, he tell us that 2 Peter, the first chapter, he tell us that God have given us everything pertaining to life and godliness that we can escape the corruption on this earth. You know, and as I stated, in the time that we live in, it's a lot of things happening on the earth. But Isaiah was telling them the reason why they was experienced what they was experienced, disaster, destruction, it was because they stopped. They disobeyed and they wasn't following God's instruction. Now, ain't this amazing? He started with they will, for if you willing and obedient. Well, it one of the scriptures, epistle, tell if whatever it's a will, if you willing. But there too again, that is an act of your will. My will is in my soul. I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Where my soul is consists of my will, my emotions. I can will to do and will not to do. Amen? And there too again, even as I read that, I'm going to read it again. I'm in Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah, the first chapter, and reading the 18th verse through the 20th verse, he said, come now, let us argue this out, say the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can remove it. I can make you as clean as fleshly falling snow. Even if you stain as red as crimson, I can make you as white as wood. If you will. That's the act of you and I have to choose to do what God say. God ain't going to make you do it. I struggle a long time in life in the beginning of my relationship with God that before I really allow that word to be engrafted into my soul. I struggle a lot because a lot of time I will wait on God to do certain things in me and in my and in my circumstances. And I had to find in my situation, I'm sorry, but I had to learn that it was on me. Come on, somebody. It was on me. Just like in St. John, the 14th chapter, there, a passage scripture, you know, a lot of people and mama used it and Psalms 23, but in St. John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Who is responsible for keeping my heart from being troubled? And Proverbs even tell it, it said, guard your heart with all diligence because out of it, the issue of life come out of it. And I found out you got the God with your soul. You got the God what you hear. You got the God what you see because your feeling is part of your soul, just like your will is part of your soul. And you is the one in control of it. Now, some might say, I don't believe that. Okay, we ain't going to debate about that, but I'll show you in the scriptures. Okay? But like I said, he said, I can make you as white as wool if you will only. That 19th verse, that is really our foundation scripture for today. If you will only obey me and let me help you, then you will have plenty to eat. But if you keep turning away and refusing to listen, you will be destroyed by your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. You see, he was telling them if they would just only listen. Now, if you would just only listen at me, if you would just only do what I'm telling you to do, then guess what? You wouldn't have the struggle like you're struggling. And see, that's the thing about mankind. We hear God, but we don't want to come in alignment, or we don't want to come in agreement with what God say. When we don't do what God say, when we don't do what God say, ourselves. Now, in Genesis, the third chapter, I want to show you something that's called there too again. When God formed a man, he gave him specific instructions. Adam and Eve were their own downfall because they choose not to follow the instructions of God. Now, even though y'all, and I hope I can be able to get into that today, even though we're not up under the old covenant, and I'm going to try to expound on that a little bit about the Mosaic law versus what we at in this new covenant. But even that, I want to show you, like I said, God gave man specific instruction, and he told him, now in that second chapter, I'm going to the third chapter, but it said, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden and tend and care for it. But the Lord God gave him this warning. God told him, listen at the instruction. He said, you may freely eat any fruit in the garden except fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of it, you will surely die. Now, he wasn't talking about he would die naturally, but he would come out spiritually because we are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And I'm telling you, we're living in a time now, not only the unbeliever, but you got some of the saints, ignorance and lack of knowledge and willing to obey fully what God telling them to do. And they want to blame God. They want to blame the devil. Now, y'all, yes, the devil is a mean old mean devil. The devil tempts every temptation that comes to you and I is to draw us away. Or cause us to depart from God's way of doing things, to interfere with our relationship with God, our loyalty, our commitment, our devotion to God. That's what temptation is all about. And the enemy always tempt us. It's the scripture said, no temptation have taken man but common to man. He always, the temptation going to be always something that he know we desire, we like. That's what temptation is. He got to make the temptation so appealing to you and I that we're willing to yield our will over to disobey or rebel against what God telling us to do. Like our creator don't know us. I like the word that God said to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, look, I know you before I formed you, I put you in your mother's womb. I know all about you. I had a plan for your life. And it's the same way with each and every one. That's when we came on, I kind of sense somebody would tune in to the broadcast and they just want to give up. I'm done with life. And we live in a time, a lot of people saying they done with life. You even got some saints because of their ignorance and lack of knowledge. They say, I'm done with this God thing. I'm done with trying to be a Christian. I'm done with trying to be a goody-goody-two-shoe. God didn't ask you to be no goody-goody-good-shoe. He asked you to receive his son as your Lord and Savior, receive the Holy Spirit, and and be led by the Holy Spirit. That's what he asked you. He didn't ask you to be perfect. God knows that we cannot be 100% perfect in our own ability. But the Holy Spirit, the power that God put in us, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Calm down, prophet. But this is, and I'm telling you, that's man's biggest problem. If you struggling and you constantly struggling in life, that's your fault. That is not God's fault. Yeah, the devil is tempting you. He always did. He always will. But Jesus made it possible that we can escape. Or better yet, we can overcome temptation. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But he gave Adam specific instruction. He said, the Lord God, I want to go back. I'm sorry. In that 17th verse, the 15th verse, he said, but the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden and tend and care for it. But the Lord God gave him this warning, you may freely eat any fruit in the garden except fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. Now, he was telling him what he could not do or what he didn't want him to do. But there, too, again, in that third chapter, it tells us, now the serpent with the sureness of all the creatures the Lord God had made, really. He asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat of the fruit in the garden? And the enemy wanted the temptation or the voice of the devil. He going to always tell you and I or try to convince us about what God have said. If you don't know what God say, and that's why it's so important that you need to get in your Bible daily and read it. And not only just, I know some people, and I did this too, some people, they read the Bible. And they believe the Bible, the word of God, but they don't trust it by putting it into practice. It's a difference. You can read this Bible, but when trials and tribulation and temptation come your way, if you don't put it into practice, you will not reap or get the results that God said that you and I would get. And that's something that all of us, I had to learn that. You know, you got some people, they can memorize so many scriptures. But when it comes down, are you putting it into practice? Are you applying that word to your life, to your situation? It's just like the Bible said in Isaiah 53:4-5, the Bible tell about the scribes of Jesus, we were here. Okay, well, when sickness and pain come, do you accept it? Do you receive it? Or do you begin, like, and we ministered a couple of weeks ago, how the Lord was saying that the enemy, sickness and disease have increased on the earth and the spirit of infirmity, especially in the body of Christ. See, the devil is bringing sickness and disease, especially when it comes down to the body of Christ. because he know we is the mouthpiece of God. He know we the temple, we the body that God dwell in. And in order for God to do anything on this earth, he has to have a body. And God choose in this new covenant his spirit to dwell in us. And when we get born again, he live in us. Because it would be illegal for God to do anything on this earth. See, a spirit cannot do any damage until it find his a body to dwell in. That's how it's done, you know. That's why we can have these thoughts. We can have thoughts of God. We can have thoughts of the enemy. Now, a sinner, and I'm going to show you this. I might get a little ahead of myself, but we're going to be showing you this. But I wanted to show you how the enemy began to have a conversation with Eve. See, now he didn't talk Eve out the victory, but he used her soul. And the God, he said, then the Lord asked the woman, how could, no, I done got two head, I done got two, I'm sorry, I went too far. He said, okay, in Genesis, the third chapter, it said, the first verse, said, now the seven was the sureness of all the creatures the Lord God had made. Really, he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat any of the fruit in the garden? Of course, we may eat it, the woman told him. It's only the fruit from the tree at the center of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said we must not eat it or even touch it or we would die. But she misquoted what he said, you know. But anyway, I wanted to show you. Drop down to the sixth verse. He said the woman was convinced the fruit looks, look, there go the temptation. When she, as the enemy continued to talk, he had her to look. And I found out that's the thing. When the enemy tempt us, he going to always use our desires. He know that we desire. It's just like when the Bible tells us to forgive. The enemy know that the outward man don't like to forgive. And if you're born again believing you ain't renewed your mind, you still operate in that old mindset. You still operating in vengeance. You still operating in your most, you can yield to the spirit of bitterness and resentment. Okay, I want to show you that. Now, there too again, let's go. Why I'm talking about that, I'm telling you, you and I, and I'm telling you, it would do you good to read Romans. Starting at that in that sixth chapter, because I want to show you. I'm not going to read the entire part of it, the whole chapter, but I want you to see. And like I said, there's so much in the Word. You know, I used to not understand why my leader would tell us we need to read our Bible daily. And I can just hear folks say, I read my Bible every day. I memorize scripture. That's good. I applaud you for that, but how much of what you read that you put it in practice? And I know what the enemy gonna tell you when you go to Matthew the fourth chapter, the Bible said when Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, did you know that the devil knows scriptures too? And he began to tell Jesus about certain scriptures. He don't mind you reading this Bible, but the point is putting it into practice, yielding your will over. And I'm telling you, the devil wants you to believe that he is your problem. Your biggest problem is an unrenewed mind, your flesh. That's what he have to come through. And see, Isaiah the first year, what had happened, they know what God required for them. But they choose from their heart, after act of their will, they choose not to do it. You got some saints, they fornicate. You got some saints, they even curse. And they say, well, you know, I'm waiting on the Lord to help me. No. The Lord done did everything he going to do through Jesus. But what you have to make up your mind and say, now God said no. Get in here and read and find out what the words say. I'm in Romans the 6th chapter. Well, my time back gone and I still ain't got into what I want. Romans the 6th chapter, I like to read the word because I want you to put your eyes on it. It's very important that you see what God say, and then after you see what he's saying, is what you need to meditate on it. We're talking about our will today, which is out part of our soul. And if you get your mind straightened out, your action, my action follow my will. My emotion gonna line up with your feelings. It gonna line up with what I think. Our emotion line up with our thoughts. Think some that make you angry and see how your emotion will respond to that. Or somebody that don't mistreat you. Watch your emotion. Watch how your feelings are changed to go from one dimension to another. Y'all, I'm telling you, when Paul said, I think it's in Romans the 12th chapter, when he was talking about we need to renew our mind, that is so important. Before God released Joshua finish out the assignment that God gave Moses, God dealt with Joshua's mindset. He dealt with his soul. He told him what to do. That he let him know I was with you. He told him all of that stuff. And all of that was for what? That was causing Joshua to rethink, and it was causing his soul, especially his will, to line up with God. Say, God told him, now listen, Moses is dead. But as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, Joshua. Okay. Now just think when he began to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, and when they would have to confront and face their enemy, that gave him a sense of I'm not by myself. Just knowing that part. Then he gone told him, he said, now you got to be strong, Joshua, and very courageous. Joshua, you got to meditate in my word day and night. See, some of you want to have, and I made mention of this, and I'm going to say it again. Some of you trying to defeat a full-time devil and you a part-time Christian ain't going to work. That ain't the way. It's not going to work. It's just you can't have a full-time job and keep that job if you always working part-time without their permission. You ain't going to keep if every week, if your job requires you to work 40 hours and every week you ain't working about 13, you ain't going to have that job too long. So sooner or later, they're going to fire you. But now, if you work them 40 hours and be full-time on that job, you're going to get a full-time paycheck, full-time benefit if they offering it. It's the same way in the spirit realm. And a lot of times, what's in the natural is parallel to the spirit. And we all need to learn that. That's why with the fruit of the spirit, guess what? It's 9 fruits and it's 9 gifts of the spirit. But if you hear and obey and do what God's word says, you'll find yourself, because the love of God is shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost, you'll find yourself walking in that. You'll find kindness. You'll find gentleness. You'll find all of that will begin to manifest in this life, in your life. But again, I'm telling you, you got to do something with your will. Do something with your will, which is part of your mind. You got to do something with that. You got to renew your mind. If you think wrong, you're going to act wrong. You're going to talk wrong. If you think wrong, you're going to talk wrong. Then you're going to act wrong. And that's why you got to do this thing daily. That's why it's not good to go to church Sunday after Sunday, hear the word, and don't put it into practice. Go home and read it. I read from different translations. Okay, we're in Romans the 6th chapter. If we don't get to the weird, we just have to continue on Thursday. It's a way then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more kindness and forgiveness? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we became Christian and were baptized to come one with Christ Jesus, we died with him? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised as he was. Listen, he's talking about born-again believers. He's talking about the power of sin. That's what he's talking about. Once you be born again, once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the power of sin don't have no more dominion over you. You can overcome your temptation. Or better yet, you can resist the temptation to sin against the will, the word of God. Listen what he's saying. He said, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. When I got born again, God did away with the sin nature. I don't have a sin nature. That's why you want to do right. Now, Paul was saying, when I wanted to do right, I couldn't do what I wanted to do. That's in Romans the 7th chapter. But he found what I wanted to, I couldn't do it. Now, listen, once you be born again, my brothers and sisters, if you choose not to renew your mind and find out what God said, who you are in Christ, guess what? You're going to still experience a defeated life. Oh, come on, somebody. Look at that fifth verse. He says, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised as he will. Look at the sixth verse. Our old sinful self was crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. But when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also share in his new life. We are sure of this because Christ rose from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer have any power over him. Now, see, that's why he tells us that death will never stain you. We're just going to deep sleep. But death will never stain when we just go into deep sleep, and we go from one dose, according to scripture, to another, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Now, if you ain't saved, this like a foreign language to you. But once you get born again into him that want to know the will of God. See, when you really want to know the will of God and you yield your will over because you want to know it, God will begin to give you understanding and revelation. Revelation, there's another, in my opinion, revelation is the reality of what God's saying in his word. It'll come alive. That's why he said he'll quicken your mortal flesh. It'll come alive to you. Oh, man, I can live right. I am, and I can be victorious. I am victorious. But see, that's why it's so important that you read this. But an unrenewed mind, the devil still wants you to believe, you can't do that. I just can't get over sort of thing. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And see, a lot of times, your soul, if you ain't renewed it, your will have been, I just can't. But when you get that knowledge in there, okay, God, like what we're reading right now, we got a lot of teaching about grace, and some of the teaching I disagree with. Grace is not a license to sin, and we'll see this as we read on. Grace is not a license to sin. Yes, grace is God's unmerited favor, but grace is also God enabling us with the power, the ability to do what he wants us to do. And the Holy Spirit is the power that enables us and calls us to obey God. But you have to get your mind renewed, change your confession. I can't. Sometimes I'm tempted to say I can't. But then I have to remind myself, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things. Sometimes when the spirit of fear comes, I have to remind myself, God have not given me the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. You follow what I'm saying? But I have to open my mouth sometimes. You don't overcome a thought with a thought. You overcome a thought by saying, open your mouth and cashing down that thought. No. Okay? Now, where we at? We in that fifth verse. It says, since we have been united with him in his death, we were also raised as he was. Our old sinful self was crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free. I read that before. I'm going to drop down to the ninth verse. We are sure of this because Christ rose from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer have any power over him. He died once to defeat sin, and now he lives for the glory of God. So you should consider yourself dead to sin, able to live for the glory of God through Christ Jesus. Do not, listen, this is an act of your will. And that's why I said my foundation scripture came from Isaiah, the first chapter, 19. He said, if you will it in obedience, as an act of your will. And some of you, that devil got you think, you listen, you can't stop this. You can't do it. If it's sin, you can. The power is available for you to stop. I can't forgive so-and-so. Yes, you can. It's an act of your will. You have to choose. God, you said forgive, and you have to do it by faith. Faith ain't got nothing to do with my feelings. Faith is all about my belief, my confidence, and my trust in what God say do and obeying it. That's what it's all about. Your emotion will catch up. That's why it's about obeying what God's word is saying. Because faith, I'm telling you, faith don't have nothing to do with my faith. I normally walk every morning. This morning, I didn't feel like it, and guess what? I laid my little hips in the bed, and I didn't get up. Now, guess what? Who missed out? I did. I allowed my feelings to dictate me because I had a busy weekend. Now, I'm not saying it was all bad. I've been really busy this weekend, a little tight in my body. But still, my point is, now, if I were to choose to get up and walk, even if I don't walk the normal miles that I know, I still could have walked. But as an act of my will, when I choose not to, and woke up at the time that I normally walk, 6:30 in the morning. But as an act of my will, I choose not to. So guess what? I didn't walk. And my body lined up with it. But now, if I would have said, you know what, I'm going walking anyway, because I do that for the most of it. But I'm just showing you how this thing works. So many of you allow your emotion, and guess what? Your soul didn't get saved. Your mind, your will, it didn't get saved. And you have to do something with it. God ain't going to do nothing with that. That's why, when I question, why you didn't stop Eve? Why you didn't stop them? He said, I gave them a will. God don't want robots. We have to choose daily in every situation, every problem. We have to choose whether we going to do what God say in that situation or we going to do what we feel. And most of the time, what I feel in a situation is contrary to what God's word say. Because my feeling would line up with it if I allow it. Somebody mistreat me, especially if you've been trained all your life. Somebody mistreat you, honey, I won't let them talk to me. Honey, they're going to respect me. I demand my respect. You can't make nobody respect you. No, you can't. Now, if you do and treat the situation the way God said treat, you can cause that person to honor themselves and want to respect you. But you can put a gun to somebody's head and say, if you don't respect me, I'm blow your brain out. If they stubborn, true, they'll let you blow their brains out first. You know, some people, they got so much of pride, they won't even forgive. Yeah, I know what the Bible said. Yeah, but. And every time you put that but, you cancel out what the necessary thing you need to do. And I'm telling you, it's actually, I'm reading it right here. Death no longer have any power over us. He died once to defeat sin, and now he lived for the glory of God. So you should consider yourself dead to sin. He's talking about the power of sin, and able to live for the glory of God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin, listen, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its lustful desire. A lot of times when people see that word lust, they think about sex. No, no. Lust is a strong, according to the Greek, it's a strong desire. And my flesh have strong desires. That's how the enemy get in. Paul said, neither give place to the devil. Well, how do we get in? You give place to him in your thoughts, in your words, in your emotions, instead of saying no. Sometimes I have to tell myself when it says, I said, no, I'm not doing that. Like this morning, I could have got right on up, and God would have gave me strength to walk if it wasn't but maybe one block. But I just choose not to. So I suffer the consequences. Are you following what I'm saying? And some of you listening at this broadcast, your feelings just lead you all the time. And you trying to figure out what is my problem. And then you say, the devil did this, the devil did this. Listen, y'all, the devil is a mean old devil. The devil is rude. He's evil. But let me tell you something. The devil needs your permission and my permission. The way we give our permission to the devil is through our will. The devil have, as I showed you in Genesis, the second and the third, the enemy got to make sin so appealing and so to you, and so pleasure to us, that we willing to rebel against what God say. And see, he didn't talk Eve out the victory. He showed her out. You know how sometimes, if you ain't careful, the moment somebody mistreats you, if you haven't developed knowledge and understanding about forgiveness, you sit there and you chew on that thing all day. You know what they did, you know what they said, you know. And right there, the enemy is working on your will. He don't want you to know that you post. He don't want you to operate. He know you supposed to forgive, but he's trying to find a way to keep you from forgiving. And he can't make, listen. According to what we read it in Romans, the devil can't make me do nothing. Let me finish this. We got 8 minutes, but really I got 7 minutes. But okay, he's able to live for the glory of God through Christ Jesus. Do not, look at the 12th verse, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its lustful desires. Do not let any part of your body become a tool of weakness to be used for sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, since you have been given new life, and use your whole body as tubes to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you are no longer subject to the law, which enslaved you to sin. Instead, you are free by God's grace. I'm going to have to get into the law, what the law would consist of, what it meant and all of that. We'll get into that Thursday. But my point is, you got to settle with and get to settle. If I'm willing and obedient, follow God's instruction, then I can reap the benefit from that promise. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Okay. If I don't dwell on disappointment, discouragement, thoughts of disappointment, thoughts of discouragement, feelings of disappointment. Feelings, guess what? I can experience peace. Come on, somebody. I can resist discouragement. But there too again, it's up to me to follow the instruction. Now in Galatians, the 5th chapter, it tells us, if you sow to your flesh, I want you to hear me. Flesh have desires. If I yield to disappointment, encouragement, if I yield to vengeance, unforgiveness, I'm going to reap corruption. I'm going to have just what it is. See, you can't yield to your, you can never satisfy your flesh. If I ate, one of my favorite ice cream, flavor ice cream is butter pecan. If I ate a bowl today, maybe this one, I might want a bowl in another cup of hours. That's what flesh like. Flesh is an enemy to God. You can't please flesh. But God done made it possible through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that we can obey God. And this one, y'all, I'm telling you, this sixth chapter, I love it. It got so much in it. He said, do not let any part of your body become a tool of weakness to be used for sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God since you've been given a new life. The inner man being Christ, he's a new creature. That's what the Bible says. Old man, those old desires, you can get rid of them. Then he go on. He said, use your whole body as tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. Now, you really get that in you. That's very powerful. For you are no longer subject to the law, which enslaved you to sin. Instead, you are free by God's grace. So since God's grace has set us free from the law, do this mean we can go on sin? Of course not. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey become your master? We're going to stop right there. And if the Lord will, we're going to pick up on this Thursday because something. If you really, if you let this word get engrafted into your soul as an act of your will, when the temptation comes to unforgiveness and all this other stuff, that the law is only contrary to, ain't never sin, contrary to what God tell you to do, you'll be a better Christian. Not only a better Christian, you'll be more victorious. You'll be able to resist temptation. You'll be able to endure, and you'll have the peace and mind of God. Again, I thank and praise the Lord. We're talking about the act of your will. If we're willing and obedient, and the only way willing, I have to act of my will, I have to yield my will, humble myself, and do what God say do. And Jesus made it possible. That's the point I hope I made today. And like I said, on your own time, go read Romans 5, 6, and 7. I promise you. Go back and read Genesis, the second and the third chapter. You can start at the first. Read it from different translations. Get your mind. If you get your mind renewed, you're going to get your will in total alignment. When I renew my mind based upon the word of God, it'll come in total alignment with what God says. And my action will follow. And God will give me the release the power which is in me, which is the Holy Spirit, to do what God say do. I'm telling you, it worked like that. If you stubborn, honey child, you don't know me, I'm stubborn. Now, if you're a Christian, you ain't got no business to operate in stubbornness when it comes down contrary to what God wants you to do. You just selfish, and you ain't hurting nobody but yourself. Some people boast about saying, oh, child, you don't know me. I'm just this, and I'm going to have my way. Go ahead on and be like Judah. They had their way, and they caused their whole family to suffer. And that's what you're doing. You cause your whole family to suffer, being stubborn and rebellious and selfish. That's all you do. You hurt you. They hurt nobody but you when you choose not to line up after your week and do what God say do. You ain't hurt nobody but you. Father, and again, I want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the word that you gave us to share with your people. I thank you now as I release this people to you, and I pray, Father, through the Holy Spirit, you continue to bring enlightenment and understanding to those that tune into the broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. We will continue with this. Maybe should we use it, the power of the will or the act of your will, on Tuesday. On Thursday. Join us on Thursday at 6 p.m. And we'll be on 6 p.m. to 7. Again, I pray and trust that you enjoy the rest of your day. Go back and read these scriptures. Meditate on it. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring understanding. Enjoy the rest of your day.